Alright, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a closer look at a case, kind of a blast from the past. It's Writers Guild of America v. American Broadcasting. Ninth Circuit case, and, you know, I think this one really gets at how regulatory bodies and constitutional rights sometimes clash, especially when you've got something like the FCC involved. Lucky for us, as always, we have our expert here to help break it down. So maybe let's start with, like, why this case even matters. You know, what makes it relevant for, let's say, someone just starting out in law school trying to get their bearings?
We hit the nail on the head by saying, you know, blast from the past, right? It almost seems like just a footnote in media law, but I think it offers up a lot of really good learning points when we're talking about administrative law and agency overreach and, like you said, the First Amendment. So I think today we're going to really try to get at the reasoning of the court in this case and what that means for how the courts will review what agencies do.
Perfect. All right. So let's rewind a bit. Set the scene for us. What was going on back then that led to this whole lawsuit in the first place? Like, what was the beef?
Well, at the center of it all was the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. And they were pretty concerned about the amount of violence and sexual content that was being broadcast, especially during what they considered to be family viewing hours. I think like the 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. slot.
Gotcha. Family viewing hours. Okay. But you said they were using informal pressure to try to change things. What did that even look like in practice?
Right. So imagine it's the 1970s, you know, bell bottoms and disco music. And the FCC sees all this stuff on TV they think is unsuitable for families during prime time, right? They wanted to see things cleaned up, but instead of like going by the book and putting formal regulations in place, you know, proposing rules, public comment period, all that, the FCC chair basically took a more, let's say, direct approach.
So no official rule book, huh?
Yeah, exactly. No new rules on the books. They were doing something that people called jawboning, and I think that's kind of a perfect word for it. Basically, it's like using the power of suggestion, but with some real teeth behind it. Think about it. The FCC chair is giving speeches, having these closed-door meetings with network execs, and, you know, maybe dropping a few hints about how license renewals might go. It was all about self-regulation through, well, let's be honest, a little bit of fear of what the FCC could do.
Yeah, so basically the FCC was using its position to push these networks toward self-censoring, right?
Right, right. You got it. I mean, there's a natural power dynamic there, and they were absolutely playing it up. But, you know, not everyone in the creative world was happy about it. The Writers Guild of America, those are the folks who represent TV writers, and a production company called Tandem Productions, who did the shows like All in the Family, they weren't having it. They decided to take it to court.
I bet. So what was their argument? What legal leg were they standing on?
Well, their main point was that this whole jawboning thing was a straight-up violation of the First Amendment, that it was basically the government telling them what they could and couldn't say, stifling creative freedom and all that. They saw it as almost like a prior restraint on content, you know, the government trying to stop speech before it even happens, which the courts don't like at all. On top of that, they also argued that the FCC was ignoring the Administrative Procedure Act, the APA, you know, the rules of the road for how agencies make regulations. The Writers Guild and Tandem Productions were like, hey, you can't just do whatever you want. There's a process for this.
Makes sense. So they were saying the FCC was trying to regulate without, you know, actually going through the proper channels.
You got it. And you know what? At first, the district court actually agreed with them. They said, yeah, the FCC is out of line. What they're doing is unconstitutional. Big win for the writers and producers at that stage.
Wow. Okay. So case closed? I'm guessing not, since we're still talking about it. It went to the Ninth Circuit, right? What happened there?
And that is where things get a bit more interesting and maybe a bit more tricky, particularly for all you law students out there. So the Ninth Circuit, they reversed the district court's decision. And here's the twist. They didn't really rule on whether the FCC's actions were a First Amendment violation or an ATA violation.
Wait, seriously? They just like dodged the main questions. Why?
They kind of did. The Ninth Circuit focused on this thing called the FCC's primary jurisdiction. And it's a pretty big deal in administrative law. Basically, it means that the courts will usually defer to administrative agencies when a dispute falls under their, you know, their expertise, their wheelhouse.
Oh, so the thinking is that the agencies have that specialized knowledge, so they're better equipped to handle these things first.
Yeah, exactly. It stops the courts from getting bogged down in stuff they might not totally understand, and it lets the agency, the experts, weigh in first. Makes sense, right?
I mean, I see the logic. So the Ninth Circuit was like, hey, this is the FCC's turf. Let them take a crack at it first.
Exactly. Judge Sneed was the one who wrote the majority opinion, and he really stressed how much the FCC knows about broadcasting, about the ins and outs of the industry. So the Ninth Circuit basically said, look, we need the FCC to tell us if they've gone too far, if they've actually forced broadcasters to censor themselves.
I mean, I get that, but what about the First Amendment? Doesn't the court have a duty to protect free speech? Seems kind of important.
Oh, absolutely. And you've hit on a huge tension in cases like this. The Ninth Circuit acknowledged those First Amendment concerns. They really did. But they still thought the FCC needed a chance to, look in the mirror, evaluate its own actions, and see what impact it was having on broadcasting. They even used this interesting analogy. They said the FCC was walking a regulatory tightrope, trying to balance their oversight of broadcasting with, the broadcaster's right to decide what they put out there.
Okay, I like that. Regulatory tightrope. That paints a pretty good picture. So basically, the Ninth Circuit wasn't throwing the First Amendment out the window. They were saying, FCC, you need to figure out if you've lost your balance first.
Exactly. And they also brought up this APA requirement that, you usually have to exhaust all the options within the agency, go through their process before you can run to the court. So even if you think your constitutional rights are being violated, in this case, you've got to let the agency try to sort it out first.
Okay. So we've got the background, the FCC's creative tactics, and the Ninth Circuit stepping back a bit. Now let's get into, the so what. Why does this case matter for someone studying law today?
Well, it really shows you how courts tend to approach these powerful agencies, especially in areas where, policy and law get all tangled up. Even when constitutional rights are on the line, the courts often take a step back and let the agencies flex their expertise. It's a delicate dance, right?
Mm.
Keeping things in check, but respecting the agency's role.
And what's the risk with that approach? Is there a downside to giving agencies so much leeway?
Right. Good question. And the risk, of course, is that agencies might be tempted to downplay any overreach. If you're the one accused of messing up, maybe you're not going to be so quick to admit it. There's always that chance that they'll sweep things under the rug.
Yeah, and that's a fair point. Okay, so back to those First Amendment issues. The Ninth Circuit kind of left hanging. What's the deal there?
Well, that's the real cliffhanger, right? We still don't have a clear answer about where the line is between, acceptable encouragement from a regulator and, outright coercion. If the FCC's jawboning was actually forcing broadcasters to self-censor, making them scared to push the envelope because they didn't want to lose their license, then yeah, that could very well be a prior restraint on speech, which, like we talked about, is a big First Amendment no-no.
So no clear rule from this case about when that line is crossed.
No, not really. The Ninth Circuit didn't give us a test to use to figure that out. So it leaves broadcasters and maybe even other folks who are regulated in a tough spot. They don't know for sure what the agency can get away with. Think about it. Let's say today the Federal Trade Commission chair goes on TV and says, "Social media companies, you better crack down on misinformation or we're going to start investigating your algorithms." Is that just them encouraging good behavior or is it them strong-arming those companies into doing what they want? It's fuzzy, right?
Yeah, it's definitely murky.
Okay.
So for our future lawyers out there, what are the big takeaways?
I think the first thing is you have to understand primary jurisdiction inside and out. This case is a perfect example of how it plays out, especially when you have agencies dealing with complex issues where the law and policy intersect. The second thing is that exhaustion of administrative remedies thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a problem with an agency, you got to go through their internal processes first, even if you think your constitutional rights are being trampled on. Sometimes you can't just go straight to court.
All right. Well, this has been eye-opening. To say the least, a case that seemed, kind of niche actually opened up a lot of really important and complex legal stuff. Really appreciate you breaking it down for us.
Anytime. Glad to be here. I think this case is still relevant today. It makes you think about how much power regulatory bodies have and how we can make sure they don't overstep their bounds while still letting them do their job.
And for those of you who want to go deeper, definitely check out Judge Sneed's full opinion, what we would normally call the show notes. But as you're reading, think about this. How do we protect ourselves from this informal influence mm-hmm. from agencies? How do we make sure they're not overreaching while also respecting their expertise mm-hmm. and making sure we protect our freedoms? That's something to ponder. It's a question we're all still wrestling with.
Yeah, for sure. That's the big question.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in to The Deep Dive.
See ya.